Shogger, I guess, a week ago, if people would have said, hey, Slater Cuoco is going to be the start ahead of Chris Russell, it might have been a little bit of a surprise. That's probably really the only surprise when I look at the Oilers' opening night roster tonight.
Yeah, I think so. And I hadn't seen him play through a bunch of camp. When I got there and watched the last few days, pay a little bit more attention to him than when he's playing in the Edmonton-Chicago series, and just see that he's, you know, he's big, he's really mobile, skates well, and has some skill, right? So, yeah, I think it makes some sense. It looks good. You know, you might have thought Chris Russell would get the benefit of the doubt. Like, I think Russell would have had to clearly get passed by for them to have made that decision. So they go with Cuckoo, and it's a mobile pairing between the two of them. So, yeah, it's a good look and a little bit of a surprise from the start of camp for sure.
How much do you think is just, you know, the size factor that you don't want to have two guys under 6 feet in the same D pair?
I'm not sure. I mean, you know, Russell doesn't play that small a game, right? He grinds and he's, but sure. I mean, you want, you know, when you have big guys that are mobile, that's what helps. You don't want plugs, but Cuckoo is definitely not that. So I don't know if it would be because of size. You know, and I wonder, like, we didn't ask Tippett specifically, why did you make that decision? Today there was kind of other stuff to get to. I don't know what his reasoning would be. I mean, Russell has the experience, right? And Russell admittedly was one of their better defensemen in the play-in round. So obviously, Cuckoo showed them enough to make this interesting decision.
What is your expectations for Jesse Puljujarvi this season?
Expectation. I don't really know what to expect. Like, I think if Puljujarvi can hold down his spot on the third line right side and be a good, honest player every night who can create some offense and use his skill and his size and get in on forechecks and create some opportunities, and if he can give the Oilers the kind of depth that they want to have, I think that's a success. If he can stay on that third line all year. If Jesse Puljujarvi can play 56 games this year and be in the lineup every night, huge win. Now, the other side of that is, hey, does he end up on one of the top two lines at some point? Because he just comes in and plays well and feels it and has some confidence. He has that skill. We know he does. I'm not counting on that from him, though. That'll be extra bonus for the Oilers if he does. But if he holds down that third line spot and is an everyday guy, then that's a big step for him.
Ryder Shog from TSN. JT Miller, leading scorer of the Canucks last season, is out. And we had Ray Ferraro on, who saw a lot of the Canucks games and said, like, he was kind of like the conscience of that team. Obviously,
really
Pettersson's
good.
A more skilled player. There's no question.
Yep.
But he did everything and makes it a little bit easier. So you look at that matchup tonight, and, you know, Travis Green came out earlier and said, hey, I think Pettersson is ready for, you know, the head-to-head matchups against the other team's best guys. So I wonder, though, if that changes, because if they're going to go Pettersson against McDavid, that's fine. But man, I look at Draisaitl's line, like when you've got a rookie and Tanner Pearson, who I'm not sure is a top six, that's the line matchup that I think Edmonton has to exploit today.
Yeah, I mean, Bo Horvat's a good player, and he can go head to head with most guys when he focuses on playing a two way game. He can go head to head with a lot of guys. Very effective, very good player. You know, really matured. So, Pearson on one side, Hoglander on the other. I think that there is a chance to exploit that a little bit. So whether it's Draisaitl or whether it's McDavid, either line, I think you're happy with that matchup if you're the Oilers. I think the Oilers will be able to kind of dictate the matchup game a little bit tonight, because it's, you know, they've got last change to work with, and I'm sure they're comfortable with either of those lines being against, honestly, either of the top two lines. Like, I think they would be fine with letting, you know, Pettersson, Besser, and Vertanen go head-to-head with either McDavid or Draisaitl. So, Tippett, I think you can just let it ride. Get those guys out there as much as you feel you need to and not really need to worry about any matchup at all. Like, what's the other one? Roussel, Gaudette, and McEwen. I mean, you're fine with anything. So you can roll your big guns out there when you want.
What's interesting is Dave Tippett yesterday, Shogger, I don't know if you heard it, when he talked about Kyle Turris, that line, and he felt like it allowed me to do some matchups. So I'm wondering if he looks and says Turris and Archibald and Puljujarvi, that they will get, you know, not it's not going to be head to head all the time, I don't think, but like maybe tonight he's like, hey, sometimes I want them to get one of those top two, so that means McDavid's line is out against either the Gaudette line or the Beagle line.
Yeah, they may. I mean, let's see how it looks. Let's see how Kyle Turris settles in as a third center. Let's see how he's doing with his draws. Let's see how Puljujarvi's doing on the wall in his own end, and if pucks are dying there, or if he's turning them over, or if he's making good plays. You know, you don't want to have unreliable players on the wall when you're matching that lineup against the other team's top lines, right? You want to be careful about that. You need reliable guys. So you got Archibald playing his off wing on the one side, and you got Puljujarvi on the other. How reliable are those guys going to be to make the right plays when they get the puck on their stick on the wall? Let's see. Now, I'm not ready to anoint that. I mean, Archibald to me is he's a borderline third line player, right? He's more of a fourth liner. Puljujarvi hasn't been in the league for a couple of years, and Turris is a good player. So let's just see how it all goes before we talk about that line going toe to toe with anybody.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Odd thing, Shogger, but this will be the first season that you won't have to hear the national anthem at any of the Oiler games, the American one anyway, up until the playoffs, or at least the third round of the playoffs,
yeah.
Which is kind of a
I never even thought of that. It's all one anthem nights, yeah.
That's one anthem nights all day long, so the game should start on time. Or maybe even start earlier. That would be nice. We have a question that we're asking everyone on the show today.
Yep.
A few of them anyway. So who leads the NHL in goals this season?
Okie dokie. I think I'm going to go with Draisaitl. I think he's going to score at a great pace this year. And I think that power play might be even more dynamic in certain ways that will benefit him. So I'll say Draisaitl.
Oh, okay. I like that. Do you see a coach getting fired this year?
Yeah, I saw that. You know what? I don't know. I'm not going to shot call guys losing their jobs. I don't judge anybody else who does, but it's just kind of like, I don't know.
I said, do you see one, or do you think teams are going to be ultra patient because of, you know, you think about having to, what you usually have to pay a head coach in today's NHL. And then if you fire one, then you got to pay another one. So now you're paying two and you have no fans, right? So
that's,
the question was more, do you think that they'll just be ultra patient?
I think they'll be budget conscious. I mean, if there's a general manager who legitimately feels his coach is getting in the way of his team winning games, then yeah, they'll do what they need to do. But I do agree with you. They will probably be more budget conscious than they would in other years. Everybody knows it's a tough financial year, so you don't want to be, you know, the guy's got a 2 years left on his deal at $2.5 million per. Well, that's $5 million. You don't need to spend your owner's money if you don't have to. So I think they'll look for other solutions. I think that's a fair point by you.
Are you hearing anything on what the Oilers might be doing for Joey Moss tonight?
No, haven't heard. But to be honest, haven't asked. I assumed that there would be a nod in some way, shape, or form, and that they would do something. I think the organization, I would assume that they will in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it's something during the anthem tonight. I think that would be really cool.
Because
that's sort of the time and space where Joey often was given a tip of the cap was during the anthem. So, yeah, I don't know for sure. It's been a lot, right? Like the organization in a very short period of time has had to bring a lot of things together. And so I'm not going to be too judgmental on things like what their opening video sequence looks like
and what the
in-game production and all those sorts of things are. My guess is they would try and do something appropriate for Joey, but maybe not as elaborate or as detailed as maybe in another given year. I'm sure the Oilers will figure out a way to make a memory or a nod to Joey Moss part of what they do this year.
Well, I think they could do something, Shogger, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they wait until there's fans back in the building because Joey really connected with the fans, right? And he was like the everyday fan. So I could see them honoring him in a small way today to recognize, of course.
Yeah, there you go.
I could see it happening on a bigger scale next season when there's or later this year if fans are allowed, but probably not until next year for sure. What is your not-so-obvious season prediction?
Cassian and Tkachuk don't fight a single time this year.
Oh, ooh. Look at you, all lover, not a fighter.
It's not that. I just think, I think that ship is. People might assume that it's going to happen a certain way, but maybe it won't. honestly, Greg's, and I mean no offense, I really didn't give that question a lot of thought. I thought about the Battle of Alberta and went, yeah, that's my gut on that is that, so I went with it. What was yours?
I said Boston doesn't make the playoffs.
That would be surprising to people, but I think you might be onto something there with where they're at. Either Boston doesn't make the playoffs or Patrice Bergeron wins the Hart Trophy. It could be either one of those, because with the C on his sweater and that guy being who he is, I just never count out what Patrice Bergeron might be able to do. He's such a fantastic pro.
And, Shagar, you see the reports out of Carolina that Forsberg's still in Edmonton, and so Carolina's taking options to trade him. the Oilers could trade for him, but then they'd have to put him on waivers to send him to the taxi squad again, which is kind of the interest. Although he was put on waivers and claimed, so if you trade him back, I wonder what the rules are for waivers.
I don't know.
I'm going to have to ask Bill Scott. I don't know that one. Does that classify as him going on waivers? But no, because you acquired him. So would you have to put a guy, like once he clears, because he didn't clear waivers, but he was put on waivers once, I don't think he has to in 30 days. So I think they could get him by, but I have to double check on that.
I don't know. Let me look up in my book of algebra here. I can't tell. I don't know. I don't know. Everything feels like it's running amok with the trying to keep track of what all the rules are this year. So, but that's interesting that they pluck him off, but without intentions of actually having, because he's got a quarantine if he goes there.
Yeah.
Right? Does he? What would the rules be? Yeah, he would have to a little bit, I think, changing cities by the NHL letter.
Yes,
of the law.
He has to cross.
But a lot different when a player comes north, though.
Yes, it's eight. Ken Holland, we had him on the show talking about the trade deadline, and if everything remains the same, he feels it'll be harder to have cross-border trades because, you know, the earliest the players, it's 8 days. For a player coming from the U.S. to Canada. Now, it's a little bit different if you're going to the U.S., right? But Forsberg still would have to quarantine. He's remained in Edmonton. So I don't know what they were thinking on that one. Who knows? Maybe there's something else at play. It would be a unique situation. But Holland did admit, like, there's not an urgent rush for it. But
Until there is, right? You turn, like, just look at what just happened with the Vancouver Canucks 2 days before their home opener. Their leading scorer is not available. So what happens if that, you know, and knock on wood, but what if it's just as simple as a complication or a potential close contact, and now you don't have, I won't say a viable option, but if you're in tough on the goaltending front. So it's not a problem until it's a problem.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Shagar, we'll see you at the rink. Have a good one.
Okay, you too, pal.